All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for baseball today. We bring in at Sports Larry KMBR as Larry Krueger. Love talking ball with him, and Bill is available too. So, Larry, let's start off with you. How are you today?
Doing great. Doing great. Marty, Bill, how you guys doing?
Very good. Bill, how are you today?
I'm good, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Still gloating about that win last night, and it's a fun time being a Giants-Dodger rivalry. Game 2 of 4. What else is coming up next today?
Hey, Larry, let me start with you. What your reactions last night? And I did the open today, and I just said I want to go through the box score with all the names because everybody did something last night. What was your take on it?
Well, I mean, my take is that the most underrated aspect of winning baseball is outfield defense. We don't talk about it, but outfield defense means a ton. And when you can put Duggar in center, and you can put Talkman in left, and you got Yaz in right, you've got well above average outfield defense. So I just really think that was a huge part of the win last night.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing, Larry. It definitely changed the momentum of the game after the home run to tie it. I was just looking at the Giants on the field, and, you know, everybody was down. And then the next pitch that Rodgers threw was worse than the one he threw for the home run, and Pujols got all of it. But just an outstanding grab there. And I want to go back to one point also, not just the outfield. Lamont Wade Jr. just played an outrageous game at first base, got a key hit in the 10th inning. He was on point playing first base for a guy that played outfield most of the time in Sacramento. So I definitely want to do a shout-out to him today because I thought he played just a superior game.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, and first base, you know, with Belt and Ruff dinged up, you know, I think they're basically doing an open tryout. I mean, if Slater wants some run, he's taking ground balls there. If Dickerson wants some extra ABs, he's going to get a chance. Not to mention, you know, Vosler and the other guys, Wade. So it's, you know, they got a lot of competition for those spots because there's a number of guys who would love to get their bat in the lineup.
You know, they're still grinding out at bats. And as Bill pointed out, Wade last night, I think he got hit once and a big walk, and then he got the single, come on, in the 10th inning, you know, off of Jansen. It looked like they may not score a run, and he got that hit. But they're really grinding out the at-bats, and that is something that I've seen with the A's for years. It goes back to Art Howe and Ken Maka. You know, you grind out those at-bats, those 7, 8, 9 pitch at-bats, you get the starter out of there and you get into the bullpen. They're doing a good job of that. Now, the key is when you find a pitcher that can throw strikes, they're going to be challenged. And that was a little bit of Buehler last night. He wasn't great, but he threw enough strikes. So for me, Larry, they have to get their walks and they've got to work the count. They've got to grind it out because average-wise, they're not hitting for a big average.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the Dodgers were ready for this series on their side as well, Marty, because, you know, they know that the Giants want to grind out at-bats. Their hitters want to do that. And they know the Giant pitchers want to attack early in the zone. So what have the Dodger hitters done early in this series and last weekend? They're attacking and coming out aggressive 0-0, 1-0, 0-1. I mean, they're ready to – they're in the batter's box ready to roll. So, you know, the Giants are not sneaking up on the Dodgers. The Dodgers are keenly aware of not just that the Giants are playing well, but exactly how they're doing it. And it just shows that there's some respect for the Giants, despite the disrespect that all the preseason prognostications had for the Giants' chances. I think the way the Dodgers have taken on these series the last couple, this last week, has shown you that the teams – respect the heck out of what the Giants are right now.
You know, Larry, I was really wanting to see how DeSclafani was going to come back after giving up 10 earned runs his last start against the Dodgers, and he was in trouble mostly every inning. And the problem that I saw every time the Giants scored, he gave it up on a shutdown inning. That was one thing that I was a little upset about because he didn't go out there and drive the ball like we know he can off the mound, but he hung in there. He hung in there and gave him 4 2/3. I really thought the pitch that Taylor hit was a real nice slider. He just got it by Crawford. But after that, you know, the bullpen really was pretty good up until Rogers giving up the home run with Berger, Littell, and McGee. And we're starting to see the old McGee back. What did you see out of him?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think McGee, Bill, is a guy that has to be, you know, his innings have to be watched. I mean, I think we saw his stuff kind of regress a little bit. This guy only pitched like 28 innings last year. So, I mean, I think the Giants have found something in McGee, but they're going to have to really, you know, he's one of a few guys on this team that they really are just going to have to make sure that they are cognizant of how often and how much they're using him. And I think you could say the same thing even on the hitting side, Bill, and Marty, about Buster. I mean, look, I think Carey Crowley had the tweet yesterday that a lot of Buster's offensive successes this year, are, as far as the long ball, are coming off of off days or rest days. So keeping McGee rested is going to be a huge key. Keeping Buster rested is going to be a huge key.
Well, I'm not buying the Buster one. I'm not buying it. I think he should be playing first base, or he should be playing in big games. I mean, if they play him today and not tomorrow against Kershaw, I think it's a mistake. And it's early in the season. He was in a little bit of a slump, and he got the big hit last night. But I think he should be playing. It's too early in the season to be resting him. That's just my opinion on it. The other guy, McGee, he, and Larry, you pointed out, and Bill and I have talked about it, you know, he pitched very few innings last year. So he started off a house of fire, and then he slowed down. Now he's getting better. And they looks like they really like to spot him at the end of the order. And if they could get him against the end of the order, he does very well. But the one guy for me, and I tweeted it last night as that 10th inning was unfolding, I said, get Harlan Garcia in there to close this thing. And I'll tell you something, he may be the best closer on the team right now.
You know, it's a good observation in that, you know, earlier this year he looked lost. But I'll tell you, the one nice thing of this last week has been him. I mean, I love the way he looks right now. He's got a lot more confidence than he did not that long ago. So, and this guy pitched really well for the Giants last year and was really a revelation, and they need him. You know, and the other thing, you know, Bill, you mentioned about Rogers, you know, earlier. You know, Rogers is another guy that, you know, I asked Farhan about him because, you know, a righty that doesn't throw hard should not have such overpowering numbers against left-handed hitting. But he does because he's got great command of that pitch that Farhan says he spots over left-handed hitters' hands. And he's so good at painting that corner. And, you know, but I'm hoping he can keep it going because it seems like when he looks good, it looks like he can do it every time out. And then you see him when he doesn't look good, and you're like, how does this guy ever get anybody out? So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting because, you know, I think we all know that the Giants' pitching depth, both rotation-wise and bullpen-wise, is going to be a major key to whether or not they get that wild card. And there's going to be guys that aren't even on this staff right now that are probably going to be key cogs before it's all said and done.
Larry, make a good point about Rogers, and remember what happened the second game in Arizona. He struggled in that ninth inning also, and he got bases loaded and got out of it. Yesterday, it looked like the slider was moving up on too much of it, and he couldn't get the ball down. And, of course, he got hit twice hard. I just think somehow, some way, he's got to either use the sinker a little bit more because he seems like he's using more breaking balls. I love when he throws a sinker from down under because it's always low and he has upside on it to get more ground balls.
Very inconsistent,
you know,
Bill.
I'll defer to you, Bill, on that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, very inconsistent listening to that. I mean, his release point is inconsistent. That's why he's getting in trouble. But yeah, when he struck out Marte, you know, it was the frisbee over the hands was maybe the best pitch he threw the whole night, and then of course put Escobar away. But this is a guy like McGee that I think they used too much. Put Littell in there. Littell's been fabulous, and don't
he really
has
been.
Yeah, Rogers is on a pace to pitch in 95 games, and it's starting to wear on him on his command.
Yep.
on his command. And that's the first thing for me. When that means your arm is a little tired and your body's not in sync. And I'd rest him up a little bit. But let me ask you this. We're almost at the one-third point of the season. And, look, you and I, Larry and Bill, we've talked about this in spring training. What do you think? It's, we're at almost 54 games on Monday. How do you feel about everything?
Well, I feel really good. I mean, how could you not? They're on a 99-win pace. They're playing really smart baseball. They're executing their plan both on the mound and in the batter's box. As you mentioned, they grind. I mean, not to mention, let's be totally truthful about this. The Giants in past years have had to have, like, all hands on deck. They got guys in the minor leagues who they could promote right now, who you could argue deserve a promotion, and yet there's nowhere to play them. I mean, Elliot Ramos, I think, could do it in the major leagues right now, but he's getting more seasoning. The guy they got in the Yankee trade, Thairo Estrada, he's got an OPS of over 1,000 right now. He's got 5 home runs in like 16 games. I mean, it's like he's another guy. If they ever want to send Dubon down, I know Dubon's got a option. Estrada's a guy that could probably impact their offense right now. Heck, Joey Bart, before he went out with the groin injury, was raking. And they don't need him necessarily. I mean, you could argue they do because of Casale's bat, but they're going with Casale, and they're committed to getting Bart those minor league reps. So I think, in a way, we're starting to see the Giants system where in the past, where if a guy was ready, man, you needed him at the major league level. Now they have the luxury to let those guys, get that much more seasoning because they've got better 40-man roster depth.
You know, Larry and Marty, the IL for the Dodgers, the Calvary's coming as they, Cody Bellinger and Zach McKinstry was taken off the IL. They'll be in the lineup today. I'd like to hear both of your thoughts on, with that happening, Muncy might go to first base, Taylor might go to second base. Do you think Pujols now becomes a bench player?
You know, that's a great question, Bill, because I think that was the game plan originally with Pujols. You know, I didn't see the Pujols move as being impactful, but after watching his impact on them, it's pretty clear that it was impactful. It's pretty clear that he is in some ways what they needed as far as a layer of professionalism, a layer, a guy who's been there, done that, who brings it every day. The Dodgers have immense talent, but I think it's safe to say that they didn't necessarily bring it every day. And now a guy like that, adding that kind of professionalism to your clubhouse, I think it's had an impact. And I think he'll go back to the role which they envisioned when they signed him, which is what you just described. But I think it's undeniable that he's had an impact and probably will continue to have an impact on them.
Yeah, and he's having fun. I mean, the guy is having fun. He drove in a run last weekend and gave his bat away. I mean, you thought the guy won the World Series. It was wild. Yeah, he's having fun. He's made a big impact there. And the spot for him is on the bench and use him occasionally here and there because there's no way you could have him out there every day. So that's what I think will happen with him. Looking at Logan Webb, guys, Logan Webb has been terrific. If he's got the changeup and the slider working and doesn't get rattled, what do you expect from Logan Webb today?
Well, I mean, Bill, I'll let Bill get into the real breakdown on his stuff, but I'll tell you the one thing I thought was a key observation that somebody pointed out to Logan was he needs to concentrate on his pace. I think you're always going to get better defense. Bill, you could speak to this directly if you work quickly. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy who I think really does – he's got good enough stuff that if he does work – at a quicker pace, I think that's going to help him, not just because he's going to get better defense behind him. I think his pitches are better when he works at a quicker pace. I think that's a key thing for him. Don't sit there and just hold the ball and get it, work at an Alex Wood type pace if you can. I think that's a key thing for him. I think that was already proven earlier this year.
I think so too, Larry and Marty. I think the pace is huge for him. And coming off the IL, the excitement, the adrenaline is going to be with him. He needs to slow down a little bit, keep that front shoulder closed. We all know when the open shoulder up, the arm slot comes down, the ball seems to sail across the zone too well. So I'm looking at him just to slow that shoulder down a little bit, make sure he's more compact. And he's going to be firing because he's had a layoff. They said he threw the ball extremely well in his bullpen session, so we're looking at that. And you're looking at Scott Kazmir possibly following him up. So you have two guys that throw opposite ways that could affect this game immensely.
Hmm. What do you think about the outfield? I mean, Talkman, of course, you know, he's not hitting at all, but he can take six pitches, seven pitches per at-bat. Made the great catch. Slater hit one in the upper deck in Arizona. Duggar, I think, is playing great. I'd play Duggar all the time. Then you get Yastrzemski. So, Larry, Bill, what do you do with the outfield? What's the optimum outfield right now?
Yeah, you know, the biggest problem is Urias is pitching, so you're going to throw all your right-handers out there. No doubt Slater's going to be in that lineup. Yaz will be in there. It depends on what he wants to do in left field. But I'm right there with you, Marty. Put Duggar in there. Duggar's the hottest bat in that lineup. He had a couple nice at-bats yesterday and then struck out. But I think his contact range, I think he's making good contact. He's playing great center field. So you might even see Slater move to left field and keep Duggar in center. Larry, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's funny. I was listening to the broadcast on the TV side, and Flem was talking about this, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. And Steven Duggar, if he can find himself offensively like he seems to be able to at this point, is a very high-end player because of how he patrols the outfield, how well he throws. I mean, he is a really nice high-end addition if he hits. And, you know, I'm so glad that they didn't give up on him. I love what I'm seeing from him. You know, he's a great kid. He's a quiet kid, but he's a great kid. I mean, and he's a great athlete. So I love the idea of playing Duggar a lot. Now, obviously, against tough lefties like Urias, you want to spot him. You want to play your right-handed hitters. I'd like to see Yaz get it rolling a little bit. I don't think we've seen the Yaz of yesteryear, you know, of last year yet. You know what I mean? It's like he doesn't seem quite like he's gotten that rhythm. I'd also like to see Dickerson, you know, play a little bit, not against lefties, but I'd like to see him get his bat rolling. I mean, you know, to me, it's like if this Giants team at times is leaves you wanting a little bit more offense, and that offense, when you look at it, the upgrades have got to come in the outfield. So, you know, the guys in the outfield got to swing it, playing the hot hand as far as hitter wise is going to be key, but also getting some of these guys to that spot. I mean, Dickerson's a little hot and cold, and I'd like to see some of these bats in the outfield heat up outside of Duggar.
Well, you have to, because you're being carried right now by Longoria, Crawford, and Posey, and Belt when he's back. And they're all in their 30s, and they're all going to get injured in some way. It's just the nature of the game, or need a lot of rest. And I've said it before, other guys have got to step up. They've got to get hot. And I don't mean just getting a hit here and there. They've, you know, got to get hot for 2 weeks, and Yaz is a great example of that. And Dickerson is another one. With Belt out, I thought Dickerson would get some first base time. But now that Wade had the game of his life last night, I think it's going to be tough to get Wade off of first base. So, Larry, I agree with you. Somebody's got to get hot. Now, people are starting to pick on Casale just a little bit. You know, 3 for his last 35. He's hitting 100. And 8 of 9 stolen bases against him. Is there any reason to even mess around with this guy who catches all the shutouts? Because, look, the strength of this team is their starting pitching. And it's the fifth best in baseball. You got to have a catcher. We saw it last year with Trump and Heinemann and Bart. They couldn't catch the staff. Is there any reason to mess around with Casale?
You know me, Marty. I love offense. Right? I love offense. And this guy's on the interstate. You know, I mean, this guy's literally, you know, he's live 105, you know what I mean, right now.
I think he's on a state road. But, I don't think he's on the interstate yet.
Yeah. But, here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if this guy hits. This is the one guy I don't care if he hits. Because we all saw, I mean, Bill, you could speak to this directly as a former big leaguer. You don't notice the catching until the catching's bad. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't notice the good receiver, the guy who the good framer. You don't notice the guy who's got who does so many of the nuances of the position well until you're looking at Heineman. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got catcher's interference 3 days a week. And you're sitting there going, what the heck? What's going on here? Would I like to see Casale get the bat going? Yeah. I think he's got a little power. But, I mean, at this point, I really don't care about his offense. I'll take the 0-for-4. Just do, you know, take control. Take control with some of these relievers. You know, frame well, throw well, call a good game. I mean, to me, I love the addition of Casale despite the zero offensive output. And I got to think that the law of averages are on his side, right? He's going to come around.
Yeah, it's so difficult for a backup catcher to produce offensively when you're only playing a couple times a week. And I think what the Giants are doing, you're sacrificing offense for a good defense. And we know how well he is. Look how many shutouts he caught. But it would be great to mix in a hit here and there, because when you're looking at this order, 7, yeah. 8, 9, when he's playing, is three outs. And you start looking at something like this, and there's no production at the bottom of the lineup. And we've seen some games where it gets down to the bottom of the lineup. There's no punch there. So it would be nice for him to mix a hit or two in and get some production there. One guy I want to ask both of you guys about is Donovan Solano. 1-for-13 on this trip, and he just has not been hitting that well. He's hit some balls hard, but he's not that same hitter we've seen in the beginning of the year before he got hurt, and definitely not the hitter of last year. That's one bat I would love to see get hot, Marty.
Yeah, he's coming around. The home run he hit the other night was a line drive shot into the second row in left field. I got the sacrifice fly last night. I see better at-bats coming from him. Look, he was out for a while. You know, he missed a lot of time, and, you know, you got to get your timing down. I think he's coming around. I think the bigger problem is the defense at second base, you know, between Solano and Dubon and if Flores is ever put over there. The Giants rank almost, other than the Phillies, I think, rank last for defense at second base. So that's the area that I think he's got to pick it up a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what? I guess I'm not as concerned about the defense at second base, because with the shifting, I mean, the second baseman is oftentimes in short right field. I do think Solano is going to hit. I mean, I think he's a really, really good hitter. But, you know, I mean, being off all that time maybe interrupted his rhythm a little bit. I mean, this guy hit .350 at times last year. I mean, this guy's a batting champion-type offense. So, I will say this about the infield offense. I thought one of the key plays last night was when, I don't know if you watched when the Longoria at-bat against Kenley Jansen. Mm-hmm. Longoria steps into the batter's box. He took one pitch, then he stepped out. When he stepped back in, he was 4 or 5 inches further away, you know, away from the plate. He backed off the plate like 3 or 4 inches, and almost like begging Kenley Jansen to pitch him away. And then he looked away and drove it to right center. I thought that was a genius move by Longoria. I love the way Longoria looks offensively. And then, you know, you mentioned second base. I mean, the guy that I'm hoping at some point is back is La Stella, because I think Tommy La Stella is going to be a big-time player before it's all said and done for the Giants. You know, I think he's going to come through with a lot of big hits offensively. But I'm not as concerned. I mean, the Dubon thing last night, that error was costly. He sure has looked better since he put on Crawford's glove. But, you know, I mean, how long can that last, right? I think, you know, Dubon's more of an athlete than a pure second baseman at this point. But you know, overall, I think you got to love what you're seeing offensively from this infield, potentially.
Yeah, Longoria's been terrific, Bill. Let me just say this
as we
wrap it up.
Go ahead.
His biggest hits are to right center field. I mean, he started doing that in spring training, and you get a pitch and great insight, Larry, if that's what he did. On the outside part, he'll take it that way, and he's driving in a ton of runs going that way. But as we wrap it up with Larry, you looking at the rest of the league? Because I think the rest of the league was a 500 league, but all of a sudden the Cubs are starting to go crazy. Yeah. The East is still kind of I'll beat you, you beat me. The Cardinals got some favorable schedule going on now. Are you looking at the rest of the league? Because I think both wild cards can come out of the West.
Well, and yet, you know, when you look at the how good the Dodgers and Padres are, you know, it's almost like, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, I almost feel like when you look at the fact that the Giants are likely in the wild card race, and they're going to have, and due to the, you know, the unbalanced schedule, they're going to play an inordinate number of games against the Dodgers and Padres. I think it's safe to say that every win against the Dodgers or Padres is like a double win, mm-hmm. because they're going to absolutely rip the rest of the league to shreds. And every time the Giants can beat them, it's like a win and a half, you know, because it means that much. That's how good I think those two teams are. I think the Giants are on an equal plane. I don't think they're looking up at any other team in this NL outside of the two teams in their division. I think at all these teams have their strengths and weaknesses, and the injury factor always is a huge factor as the season plays out. But I don't know how you guys feel. I don't feel like Giants Cardinals, Giants Cubs, Giants Brewers, Giants, you know, you fill in the team in the National League. I don't feel like the Giants are, you know, a lesser club than any of those clubs. So I know that's a different feel than what, you know, Pecota had at the beginning of the year when they said the Giants were a 75-win team. But I think it's proven at this point. You know, Giants are, they got a smart game plan. They got a coaching staff that works really hard. They got the oldest team in the league, so injuries are going to be a factor. But they're the oldest team in the league, and they're one of the smartest teams in the league. So, you know, I think we're seeing it every night.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think there's any team in the National League they're fear of. They took the Padres. They beat them 5 out of 9. I think by winning last night, it shows so much confidence in that clubhouse to come out and slug with these guys today. So it's going to be an interesting the last two games. And, of course, 19 games, we're only in 5 of them. So it'll be fun as we continue.
Well, I'll tell you, last night turned out right. If it didn't turn, if Pujols' ball went out for a home run, we'd have a different show today.
Yes, we would.
So it shows one game could make a difference, and really, yeah. it's that's what baseball's all about. Larry, love having you on.
Thanks, Larry.
Come back. Love talking ball with you as always. So be well, and thanks for coming on.
Hey, man, I always enjoy Saturdays when I get a chance to hear you and Bill and Kerry, you know, chop it up. And I was listening to you last Saturday. I think you had Bruce Jenkins on. You guys were talking old school ball, and I was eating it up. So I'm taking my – between Little League and you guys, you're filling my weekend. So good stuff, man.
Beautiful. All right, thanks for that. All right, Bill, who do you have coming up?
Oh, the great Steve Sox. He and I are going to have a little conversation about the Dodgers and Giants rivalry and see what's coming up next as we take the third game of a 4-game series. So it should be exciting.
All right, you could take it out.
All right, we're going to talk to Steve Sox on Talkin' Baseball right after the break. So we'll be right back on KNBR 104.5 680. The